Hey everyone, this is Judy Cohen and this is Wake Up Call 310 on July 22nd. Welcome. So let's head back to the Dhammapada, this remarkable little text that encapsulates virtually all of the mindfulness teachings. And we left off at chapter 4, which in the translation I'm using is called Flowers. The opening line is this question, who will master the world? And as always, the text and all of mindfulness is about training the mind, partly training to support our own well-being, but also equally, or even more importantly, in some ways, training to be a positive influence on others and on the world. So right away, we're challenged. Will we be the ones who put in the time, the dedication, the training to master our own minds and to cultivate the essential qualities of mind, generosity, kindness, patience, compassion, and then bring these qualities out into the law and into the world, remembering we're all connected and that everything we say and do really matters. And then with that recollection, using our positions of privilege or influence to do good in the world and to cause no harm. So that's the challenge of the question, who will master this world, I think. And the next line, or one of the next lines, is the person obsessed with gathering flowers, insatiable for sense pleasures, is under the sway of death. And death in this case, meaning destined to repeat our actions over and over because we just don't see or we don't care about their consequences. So I know I'm guilty of being obsessed with gathering flowers and feeling insatiable for sense pleasures. I take, for example, this just happened 2 nights ago. I take one cracker and cheese. It's tasty. So I take another and then another. And then the next thing I know, I've eaten a lot more than I wanted to. And there might be a kind of a niggling voice reminding me to stop eating cheese and crackers, stop gathering flowers. But too often I ignore it, unless it means someone else is hungry and isn't going to get fed. So the consequences are to my waistline or my lack of waistline, but I'm also sure that there are consequences that I can't see. The same is true for other sense pleasures, which is the pleasure. Sense pleasure is the pleasure we take when we get what we want. So it could be something relatively benign, like I buy a soft new sweater for myself or my partner or one of the kids, which no one actually needs. Consequences, who knows? Or who knows yet, but there I am caught in a kind of retail therapy, right? Or it could also be something less benign. Like last week, I talked about my experience in the probate court with a very sticklery judge. And I wanted to speak, but my lawyer didn't call on me and I didn't think it would be a good idea to simply unmute myself, especially after the judge had really admonished the guardian ad litem in our case for interrupting him. And so if I'd unmuted myself and spoken to the intent of the trustor, you know, I knew it would feel good and I would have been right. And I really wanted that sense pleasure, the pleasure of speaking up and setting the record straight, explaining to the judge what was really going on. And of course, you know, being right. But fortunately, in that time, I could see some real potential consequences and they didn't look good. And so my being right could have helped, but it could also have thrown the case into a bad cycle and thrown me into that cycle. So in that case, it was a relief to let go of my desire to be right. And here's what the next instruction in chapter 4 of the Dhammapada says about that. It says, as a bee gathers nectar and moves on without harming the flower, its color, or its fragrance. So should a sage walk through a village. Do not consider the faults of others or what they have or haven't done. Consider rather what you yourself have or haven't done. Like a beautiful flower, brightly colored but lacking in scent, so are well-spoken words fruitless when not carried out. Like a beautiful flower, brightly colored and with scent, so are well-spoken words fruitful when carried out. Just as from a heap of flowers, many garlands can be made, so you, with your mortal life, should do many skillful things. So I love this image of a sage walking through a village without harming the flowers, without harming others, without considering their faults or what they have or haven't done, only considering what she has or hasn't done. I love this image. I love this image, but I also I find it hard to do. So imagine that you're thinking about doing this, and the next time there's a lot going on for you, and that might be the minute that this wake-up call is over, and maybe you have that sense in your body, in your mind, you know, things better be right. So-and-so better have that on my desk, better be perfect. He'd better not refuse our extension request, or we need her today. She better not be sick again, or they'd better have those extension, those citations fixed, or that research done. So yeah, that's a way to be a lawyer. And in some ways we have to be that lawyer, but now see if you can switch perspectives entirely. And you think about your own situation. If so-and-so's document isn't on my desk, I'd better what? Not yell for sure. And also not make so-and-so feel bad, because remember, do no harm, right? And so then the question is, well, what had I better do? Or if you were asking yourself, what had I better do if the document isn't on my desk? What had I better do if the extension is refused? Or if so-and-so is still sick, or the citations aren't done, or the research isn't done? Or let's flip the grammar, not just flip the perspective, but flip the grammar and rather say, what had I better do? Or how about what is the better thing to do, or what is the best thing to do? Again, the Dhammapada, like a beautiful flower, brightly colored and with scent, so are well-spoken words fruitful when carried out. So this chapter of the Dhammapada is inviting us to ask ourselves what well-spoken words we can think of for each of those situations, or for whatever situation we might find ourselves in. It's reminding us, this is the quote, not to consider the faults of others or what they have or haven't done, even if that's our inclination, the inclination of this legal mind, even if that's what we think we need to do. First, at least, the invitation is to consider what we have or haven't done or could do. And, you know, sometimes we might feel like we've done everything we can. We might find ourselves in the company of someone really difficult, or who lacks understanding, or who can't see what's true, that we're all connected, that what we say and do really matters very much. And we might even feel like sometimes we're surrounded by people like that. So when that happens, still, or, you know, in our fraught but also immensely consequential profession, I'd say especially, let's first not consider the faults of others or what they haven't done, and instead consider what we have or haven't done. And if that consideration leaves the situation unresolved, or even worse off from than before, then here's the last few lines of the whole chapter. As a sweet smelling lotus, pleasing to the heart, they grow in a heap of rubbish discarded along the highway. So a student of mindfulness shines with wisdom amid the rubbish heap of blind common people. So that's a little harsh, but at the same time, it kind of means not, oh, I'm so great. It really points at, remember Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. It really points at that. When they go low, we still go high. We still practice. We still consider what we have or haven't done, or what we could or couldn't do. What well-spoken words we can bring forward. And that's the way we master our world. Okay, so let's sit. So first, finding your posture, the posture for you this morning that is upright and also relaxed. I'm really liking Roshi Jones' instructions these days. A strong back, soft front. And connecting to the earth. Sensing into your connection to the earth and all of the humans and other beings we share this beautiful earth with. Connecting to this community on the wake-up call. The 28 of us this morning. And connecting to yourself. And if there is a situation where you find yourself considering the faults of others or what they have or haven't done, you might want to do some metta for the person or people with whom you are finding the faults. Or whom you're frustrated with for what they have or haven't done. It can be just as simple as wishing them well, calling them up in your mind's eye and just wishing them well. For me, I know the warmer I'm feeling towards someone, the easier it is to find those well-spoken words and to consider my part in the situation, what I have or haven't done. So just continuing to warm the heart in the direction of the person or people who might otherwise look full of faults or be the people who have or haven't done something right. And then for the last minute or so of our sit together, shifting to a little metta for yourself, wishing yourself well. Thanks, everyone, for being on the wake-up call today. Great to see you all. Take good care. Be safe. Be well. Have a good Thursday. Have a good weekend. I'll see you next Thursday.